Good morning. Glad you're here with us this morning. The question I have for you is, have you been enjoying seeking the Lord with all of your heart this week? So many in this world ask the question, where is God? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Father, I thank you for this time that we set apart to focus on you. And today, my prayer is that you would reveal yourself to each person that's here. That your spirit would minister to their spirit. That we all would come to know and realize that you are there. Quite honestly, you are everywhere in all things. Father, I pray that we would be attentive to your word this morning, that it would make a difference in our life that would impact us for eternity. Amen. The one seeking for God wants to know, where is God when I need him? Truthfully, so does the skeptic and the guilty sinner, so he can run the other way. So does every hurting person who feels abandoned by Almighty God. There are three attributes of God that should always be kept together in your mind: omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. Omniscience means that God is all-knowing. Omnipotent means he is all-powerful. And omnipresent means he's everywhere. When it comes to omniscience, God knows what needs to be done. Add to that omnipotent, he has the power to do it. Understanding omnipresence is knowing he is always wherever he needs to be to do whatever needs to be done. For us as humans, I think omnipresence is the hardest attribute for us to wrap our mind around. We have nothing to compare it to. We can conceptualize all-powerful because to some extent we have power and strength. We grasp that God is all-wise because in varying degree we have wisdom and knowledge. But there is no sense in which we can draw upon to be present everywhere. We can only be one place at one time. But God is everywhere at the same time. For that reason, omnipresence is mysterious to us. God is completely present at every point in the universe all the time. He is fully present at one point as though he were nowhere else. To go deeper in this thought, his presence extends to all three persons of the Trinity. That's a relief. What if I needed to talk to Jesus and found out that he was in another part of the world and wouldn't be back in Berks County for a week? Or what if the Spirit were in Pennsylvania when someone needed him in Scotland? Thank God, all three persons of the Trinity are ever present and available to all that seek him. Something we need to know and understand is only God is omnipresent. All other beings are restricted to one given place at a given time. Think about this. Angels and demons can only be at one place at a time. Satan is also limited. He is not omnipresent. There is only one who is omnipresent, the Lord, our God. If your God is not present everywhere in the universe, then he is not the God the Bible describes. I've been wandering through the book of Jeremiah, and look at what I found in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24. We read, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, listen, declares the Lord. God's omnipresence means God is everywhere. The contemplative words of Psalm 139, 7 through 12 are where I think the greatest statement of omnipresence is found. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. As David thinks on how God knows him inside and out, he wonders where he might go to hide from the Lord. Whether heaven, hell, east, west, the far side of the ocean, it doesn't matter. Think about it. The Lord is already there. God dwells among his people and in his people wherever they are, wherever they go. He's always present, whether we believe it or not. He is present, even in the worst moments of life. God's omnipresence means that he's there in the midst of suffering, pain, sickness, sorrow, anger, grief, bitterness, murder, divorce, betrayal, sexual abuse, cancer, abortion, warfare, famine. He is at every natural disaster, earthquake, fire, flood, accident, personal loss. Listen, even at the moment of death, you name it, he's there. He is always available to us wherever we go, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. He is never preoccupied with other problems. We have his full attention. We don't need to make an appointment. He's never too busy to hear us when we pray. Can you imagine what it would be like if we prayed only to have an angel tell us, leave your name, number, and a brief message. Someone will get back to you as soon as possible. Beep! That will never happen because God is completely available to you no matter where you are. Our God hears us as if we're the only one praying. We can fully rely on him no matter how desperate our situation may be. God is always present everywhere in the universe. One commentary shared that God's presence is like the air we breathe. Air is odorless, tasteless, invisible when it's not polluted. Most of the time, we don't even think about the air we breathe, yet we depend on it for our very existence. Even so, God's presence is everywhere with us. And if it were withdrawn, none of us could survive for even one moment. God is always near his people. This promise is found over and over throughout the Bible. Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus promises, I am with you always. In Deuteronomy 31:6, Moses reminded the people, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified because of them, for the Lord, your God, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible tells us that he draws near to us in times of pain and suffering. In Psalm 34:18, we read, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Some here today could give testimony of how they have experienced God's powerful, uplifting presence in the midst of sickness or sorrow. Often, when looking back, marvel at how God brought them through when everything else seemed to completely fail. I've been there. Sometimes we need to just open our eyes or have them open for us. He really is near when we least expect Him to be. 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 18 tells how the mighty armies of Aram had completely surrounded the people of God at Dothan. When Elisha's servant saw the enemy draw up on every side, he cried out in fear, "What will we do?" Elijah told him not to fear because, listen, those that are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed that the servant's eyes might be supernaturally opened, and they were. And as he looked up, he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Something like that needs to happen to many of us. We need a glimpse of God's presence. When you seek the Lord with all of your heart, you find that He's all around you, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Is life becoming difficult at home, work, or school? Maybe you don't need a new neighborhood or a new job or a new school. You need to see that the angels of God are in your midst, right where you are, right now, ready to go to battle with and for you. We need to come to understand that God draws near to those who approach Him in humble faith. In Psalm 145, verse 18, we read, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." James 4:8 challenges us to come near to God, and He will come near to you. How is God's presence a benefit to life? When you're lonely, God will be your companion. Psalm 25, verses 12 through 14 reassures us, "He will instruct them in the way they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them." Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 tells us, "God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" And because of this, we can agree with verse 6. So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" The benefit of God's presence is that it strengthens us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 43:2 tells us to have confidence in God, saying, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." To all this, I say, claim Psalm 16, verses 7 through 11, for yourself. "I will praise the Lord, who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand." Understand that there is no place God is not. When you seek Him, He can be found. Acts 17:27-28 tells us, "From one man He made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He marked out their appointed times in history, and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that, listen, they would seek Him, and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being." When you develop a relationship with Him, you begin to stand on the promises of God's Word. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." We are to expect Him to meet us in our need. I like the paraphrase of Psalm 46 in the New Living Translation. "God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in time of trouble. So we need not fear even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble. There is a river of joy flowing through the city of our God, the sacred home of the God above all gods. God Himself is living in that city. Therefore it stands unmoved despite the turmoil everywhere. He will not delay His help. The nations rant and rave in anger, but when God speaks, the earth melts in submission and kingdoms totter into ruin. The commander of the armies of heaven is among us. He, the God of Jacob, has come to rescue us. Come, see the glorious things that our God does, how He brings ruin upon the world and causes wars to end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon. Stand silent. Know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation in the world. The commander of the heavenly armies is here among us. He, the God of Jacob, has come to rescue us." Next week, we're going to be looking at God's power. Plan to be here. Continue to seek the Lord with all of your heart, and God's Word promises you will find Him. Father, I thank You that You have given us the handbook to life. It's called the Bible, and that we have the freedom to pick it up and read it. God, I pray that You would just plant in us a desire to seek You throughout Your Word, that we would learn to pray first and listen louder as we listen to the words printed on the page. God, I thank You that You are doing a work and that You would continue to do it until it comes to completion. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.